Good morning, Steve Dale's Pet World on WGN. It's been a long time, and there are a variety of reasons for this, since I've had anyone on this radio show from Treehouse Humane Society. And they are doing something that is so terrific for the community. And if timing matters, the timing is right, right now. Because so many people, so, you know, there are many of you, and myself, I consider myself lucky, fortunate, where, yes, despite everything going on in the world, my life is basically going along okay. I've not lost my job. Nothing financially has impacted me in a big way. Well, that's not true for everyone, right? And it doesn't mean if you don't have finances that you should not have a pet. And more, there are many people that are finding ways in the veterinary community and in the shelter world to say, you know what? We need to provide veterinary care for people so they can have pets. And in some cases, those are the folks, because pets are so beneficial to us, that most need a pet. And we'll be talking with Raisa Allaire of the Treehouse Humane Society. They have a new veterinary clinic to service, really, a community that needs service for their pets. Illinois Congressman Mike Quigley is here because he had this idea called the Big Cat Public Safety Act. I don't know what motivated it. He'll tell us in a moment. Maybe it was watching The Tiger King. And we just had an example of why we need this right now in Houston, Texas. There you are. Imagine this. You're in a nice residential area. You're looking out your window and you see a tiger, a real tiger, walking on your lawn. Congressman, that could have been a disaster. It's a residential neighborhood. I believe that it is not infrequent for children to ride bicycles. So imagine a kid is riding a bicycle right by. Tiger's prey drive kicks in. What tigers do naturally, they see something moving quickly. They will jump on whatever it is that they see. They're hardwired to do that. I don't think tigers belong in residential neighborhoods. Is that what your bill is all about?
Exactly. I mean, as you're right, the footage showing a tiger wandering a neighborhood in Houston, you know, might seem like a punchline of a joke, but in reality, as you say, we're incredibly lucky the situation ended without anyone, including the tiger, being injured or killed. The worst part of all this is it is not uncommon. There's a reason my legislation is supported by the Fraternal Order of Police and the first responders. You know, we have pictures of people who have big cats in apartments in New York City. So, you know, that was the motivation. The welfare of the animals, the welfare of first responders, neighbors. You know, in short, look, the bill outlaws the private possession of big cats like lions, tigers, panthers, except at highly qualified facilities that can safely and humanely care for these animals, like zoos and refuges, you know, where they belong, if not in nature. And then, obviously, anyone who owns a big cat currently would have to be required to register. It also prohibits the breeding of any big cats outside of these accredited facilities.
Because the breeding sometimes is done in a random way, or they're breeding lions with tigers without any purpose except maybe to attract tourists. Is your goal also to better deal with these places, the places like, I forget the name of the place, but the place the Tiger King had and the Baskins have and those sorts of things?
You know, the reaction coming from Tiger King, I have a hard time watching those shows just because it shows the inhumane treatment of these animals, and it just drives me nuts. But it perhaps had an unintended consequence of bringing a lot of attention to this. It actually made it easier for me to move the legislation forward. But we are concerned about roadside zoos. You know, this isn't a place. Some of these isn't a place where the animals can be properly cared for. There are risks. And we often become aware of the fact that, you know, it is an attraction, unfortunately, to people to have their kids, you know, give a bottle to a baby, you know, to a cub, a big cat. But, you know, the fact is they don't tell you what happens when they grow up, and they usually destroy the animal. So for all those reasons, we wanted to go forward. And I think for all those reasons, we were able to get a lot of support, not just from the police and first responders, but on a bipartisan basis in the House of Representatives.
And also from animal welfare organizations, because not only are you talking, and you are, about protecting public safety, but you're also talking about the welfare of animals, which is something I know about. So there is something called the five freedoms that people who do what I do are very, very familiar with. And these roadside zoos have none of that, as opposed to an accredited zoo or aquarium or an accredited animal sanctuary that provide exactly what the animals need. And you're right, there's a lot that we often don't see. So where is this bill now? And if you feel like, incidentally, I feel and want to support you, how do people do that?
Sure. Well, the good news is the bill passed in the House in December with strong bipartisan support. And it was co-sponsored by half of the full House of Reps and not opposed by Republican leadership. My colleague, Brian Fitzpatrick, and I reintroduced the bill in the House. It's going to pass. But while, you know, the bill didn't pass in the Senate last year because we ran out of time, I'm very optimistic that we've got a real shot this year to get it through the Senate and have the president sign it into law during this Congress. What I tell anybody is, you know, we always need help in the Senate. But wherever you are, tell your member of Congress they should get on this legislation and why, and talk to your senators. We could always use more support across the country for those who want to support the welfare of animals and to keep our neighbors safe.
Well, and moreover, I like the fact that you said the word bipartisan. I don't know that that exists, but here now it's existing. This is something that should be absolutely bipartisan, and it doesn't matter what party you are. And I thank you so much, Congressman, not only for your time now, but for your commitment to lots of animal welfare issues. I know you personally, so I know that that commitment comes from the right place. It comes from your heart. So I thank you very much for that as well.
Glad to be there. Glad to talk to you. And we're always open to new ideas. I mean, we got the idea for bird safe legislation as a county commissioner from constituents just talking to us about it. So don't always think of lobbying your lawmaker as encouraging them to vote for a specific bill. A lot of times we learn a great deal from our constituents, and it gives us the idea to move forward with these plans.
Well, I've got a few ideas. I'm happy to talk to you.
Glad to do it.
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time as always, Congressman.
We'll talk soon. Thanks again.
I so much agree with the congressman, and we're talking about public safety issues here, and we're also talking about the welfare of these big cats. You know, it's a trivia question. Where are there more Siberian tigers than anywhere in the world? And the answer is not Siberia. It's the United States. And I'm not even counting the tigers in zoos, accredited zoos. I am talking about these private people that somehow have gotten tigers, which is absolutely ridiculous. What's also ridiculous are government buildings that say, oh, you have a dog? It's over 40 pounds. No, no, no. That dog cannot come into this building. You know what? If the Obamas now needed to move into a government building, isn't that what the White House is? But if they needed to move into subsidized housing of some sort, they could not have, in most buildings, a dog. And not at least a Portuguese water dog, which is what they have. They couldn't do it. A dog over 30 pounds in some buildings. A dog over 20 pounds in other buildings. There's no data to indicate that a certain weight should be the cutoff. And I talked about that and testified to the Housing Committee of the Illinois Senate. And I'll tell you more about what I said and why I said it. By the way, next week on the show, I am so excited. Ruta Lee will be here, and even if you don't know her name, and you ought to, she's a Hollywood legend, but even if you don't know her name, well, you know, I mean, she was on in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Add it all up, she is Antenna TV. She has been so many times, I mean, 1,000 programs, literally, 1,000 as a guest star, and she'll be a guest star on our program next week. From Treehouse Humane Society, Raisa Allaire is the executive director. Hi, Raisa.
Hi, Steve.
You know, I want to talk about cats. It's about time we talk about cats, and Treehouse is a, yes, I'm so sorry, friends, cat only. You do not adopt guinea pigs. You do not adopt dogs. You do not adopt horses. That would be very difficult in your building, in your fairly new, spanking new, still kind of building up in Rogers Park. What is it the Treehouse does for people who don't know?
Sure. So Treehouse has been around since 1971. So this year we are celebrating our 50th year anniversary. And we have an eco-friendly cageless shelter in West Rogers Park. In addition to finding cats their forever homes, we also have a robust community cats outreach program where we work with about 1,000 volunteers throughout Chicagoland to help take care of outdoor cats.
Well, that's really important because we think about, and we should think about, the cats that live with us every day. There are cats that are called feral cats or community cats, and they serve a purpose too. You know, I've talked on the radio so much about leptospirosis, which is spread by lots of different kinds of mammals, including rats in the big city. And these cats help to get rid of those rats at least a little bit, and that is a very good thing. But we also want to do the right thing. We want to be humane. So those cats are trapped, neutered, vaccinated, and returned. Do you do that at your facility?
We sure do, Steve. We have an in-house resident clinic that works to spay, neuter, and vaccinate and register community cats. We also have a Cats at Work program where should the outdoor cat not be able to return back to their neighborhood, we work with local businesses and residential locations to adopt a working cat.
Well, and explain what that cat does.
Sure. They help control the rodent population. As you know, Chicago is one of the rattiest cities, and they help prevent and avoid, like, the rodent overpopulation.
Right. And those rodents carry leptospirosis and spread it to dogs, who can spread it to people as well. So we don't want to see that. Besides, they're kind of just gross. So
correct.
Rats, yeah. And getting rid of them can be a very – we could do a separate – conversation about this, but getting rid of those rats can be very challenging in an eco-friendly way. In particular, the cats are just able to do that. And where the cats appear, I don't know why, the rats generally find new real estate. So that is another good thing the Treehouse has been doing, and in fact was either the first or the second, depending on who you ask, in the country to do so, which is great. But we haven't talked about what's most important. You adopt out cats.
Yes, we sure do. We adopt out close to 1,000 cats, and we have not seen that adoption number wane with COVID, but we try to find the best match with the cat and families.
So tell me about the brand new opening. Ba-ba-ba-bum. That's my brand new opening sound effect.
Of the I like that sound effect.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Of the Treehouse Veterinary Wellness Center. I mean, this is hugely important. Explain what this is.
Definitely. So on Saturday, we did have our ribbon cutting for our Treehouse Veterinary Wellness Center, and yesterday we were officially open to the public. And the reason why is the Treehouse team believes that every pet should have access to quality vet care. What we saw was a lot of families end up, the number one reason they end up surrendering their pet is due to the lack of access to vet care. So we wanted to be part of the solution and prevent animals from entering the shelters in the first place. And for our first few weeks, we already have 350 animals booked up for spay, neuter, and basic wellness.
Wow. Now, is this for people that primarily... Is it subsidized medicine in a sense that that you don't pay what you might normally pay for a private veterinarian? How does this work?
Correct, Steve. So we want to be a resource for the community. So we offer a couple levels of pricing. So for the general public, we offer more affordable vet care. And if you are on any government assistance, we do offer another tier of discounted pricing. We are also working with a lot of local rescues and animal welfare organizations and the trap, neuter, return community to provide what we call volume discount pricing. So there's another level of pricing for nonprofits and for TNR trappers.
You know, I'm involved in just a little bit on the national level about dealing with an issue of affordability, you know, that not everyone could afford the veterinary care that they'd like to receive and deserve to receive. And there was a time, and I'm being very honest with you, there was a time when many veterinarians thought, okay, if you can't afford a pet, don't get a pet. You shouldn't have one. Well, I disagree with that greatly. And I think today most veterinarians do too. And to be clear, you are not in any way, shape, or form in competition with the veterinary clinics nearby you. That's not the intent. The intent is, I believe, to fill in a gap that really needs filling in.
Correct, Steve. We actually did some outreach before we opened to the local veterinarians in our community, and I would say the response has been overwhelmingly positive. We know that lower-income households are often less likely to seek veterinary services, so especially services viewed as elective, such as spay-neuter surgery or preventative services, such as vaccinations. And what we are working to do is obviously help the families that we see establish relationships with private veterinarians. So it is not our intention to replace the private veterinarian.
And in fact, if a cat comes in, and the veterinarian, your veterinarian, I suspect, sees or hears, I'll use this example, a heart murmur and is concerned that that cat may have a heart disease. That you're not going to treat that right there. I imagine in your clinic, you're going to refer to another veterinarian. First of all, you want to make sure the diagnosis is right, and it may take another veterinarian to do that. But moreover, that's not your function. Am I right about that? As just
you
one
are
example.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, so the intent is not to compete. The intent is to find a way to get all cats veterinary care they deserve. I congratulate you for that. I think it's exciting. Where are you located?
Yes, we are located at 7225 Northwestern, so at the corner of Western and Toohey, and you'll find our eco-friendly shelter as well as the new Veterinary Wellness Center.
And for further information, treehouseanimals.org?
Correct. And so to book an appointment online, you can also visit treehousevet.org.
Perfect. treehousevet.org. Raisa Allaire, Executive Director of Treehouse Humane Society, thank you so much.
Thank you, Steve. It's been a pleasure.
I had the honor this past week of speaking to the Illinois Housing Committee, testifying in support of the notion that enough is enough. The U.S. government or the Illinois state government in funded buildings, so it's government housing, to say that if you have a dog that's over 30 pounds, over 20 pounds, over 40 pounds, whatever it might be, because it ranges from building to building, and it does because it's always arbitrary, you cannot have a dog. That's ridiculous. Or some of these buildings saying even you can't have a cat. Why? Just because. You might have a cat that scratches or destroys something. That's just not right. We know the good the pets do for us. Now, in particular, in government housing, the truth is that so many of the residents are U.S. veterans. And with Memorial Day just around the corner, I mean, that is so wrong. And right now, people are having to give up, including senior citizens, their beloved animals, only because the place where they live. And if it's government housing, we are doing something about it in the state of Illinois, says, no, you can't have that pet because that dog weighs over 30 pounds or whatever the arbitrary weight happens to be. Nevada passed a law in 2020. With everything going on in 2020, Nevada said this is important, that for government-subsidized housing, we don't care how big that dog is. And that's what we want, and that's what I support in the state of Illinois. I hope it happens. You can follow my blog, stevedale.tv, if you want to read my testimony word per word and if you want to learn more about it. We'll talk to you next week on Steve Dale's Pet World, bright and early.